Heavenly Father, just let your word speak. Let us hear and let us be changed.
Yes, God.
That you would be glorified in our lives and in this place. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple weeks ago when I spoke, talked about lordship, and I told you I really felt impressed to pull up something I had written a sermon 7 years ago. Well, it was two parts, and it hasn't left me, so we're going to finish it. And I know we're supposed to do it, because I had a dream. I have a dream, which isn't something you hear much from me. And I'm sure I dream, but I tend not to remember my dreams. And it's not really helpful for me to have a dream because I'm not a detail person, so somebody else would explain the details in 10 minutes and I'll take 10 seconds. I'm more of the concept, but I had come into the sanctuary over here, and I was just amazed. The place was full, and worship was already going on. I mean, it was full, and people were still coming in. And it was pretty exuberant worship. And I walked in over here, and how many know David Hogan? Okay, David Hogan's been here before. And he was worshiping over here. And I was just so overwhelmed with the presence of God. And it's like, Brother David, are you ministering today? Figure everyone who was here to see Brother David Hogan. He's like, no. It's like, well, how is this place full? He said they came because of the presence of God. They hadn't come for a man. They came because they knew they would meet God Almighty here. And it just made me weep in my dream. And I thought, because the second part of this message out of Psalms 23 is to be aware of his presence. And I was like, he does want me to share this. And then we were at Bible study last night, and there was a portion in 2 Peter. And Peter's talking in his letter. He says, I write this to remind you all, because basically you need to remember this stuff. You know, I tell you it all the time, but you need reminded. And that's why I tell you all the time. Why? Because you need to remember. Why? Because I ain't going to be around all that long to remind you. This is basically his word. I thought, I need to be reminded. Another confirmation of it. So, if any of this is redundant to you, you need reminded. Okay? Okay, ready? I have asked the audiovisual team to not put all the verses up because I have a lot of them. So where there's just the verse and not the words, you're going to get the Bruce version of it. Okay, I'm sure you didn't know there was a Bruce version of it, but today there is. So you're going to get my synopsis of what the passage says, and you'll get the gist of it. Yeah. It'll be out next week. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about lordship. But the importance of lordship is the next step. Once we have established who he is in our lives, now we establish his function in our life. His function is this: is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now there's a lot in there. But the essence of this whole thing is we need to be aware of his presence at every moment in our life so we will live the fullness of life that he desires for us to live. So, what's a shepherd's function, or what is the Lord's function in our life? And I'm kind of struck by how similar the function of mother is to these things. So I think it's appropriate that it's Mother's Day. Shepherd provides food, water, rest, safety, and direction. If he is Lord, we said it 2 weeks ago, if he's Lord of your life, then you are his responsibility. As shepherd, he provides all these things to fulfill his obligations and his responsibilities. So what's the first point? As shepherd, I shall not want. You have no want, you have no lack, because God supplies. And I'm going to say it again. Now, I like to move. I think that helps you not to fall asleep, because you got to track, you know, you can't, you know. I've done that before. I've tried standing. I've seen people, and you just see their eyes. But if I move, they have to go this way. See, vertical doesn't work. Horizontal works fine. So I like to move. Too many of us seated here today live in a mindset of lack. I'm just telling you the truth. We go through life and we just get sucked into it. You know, someone plants a negative thought, something this. You hear somebody planning a cruise to the Caribbean, and you think, I can't afford that. I plan lots of cruises to the Caribbean, and you can afford it. In the church, I believe, has adopted this mindset of lack, and it has made it powerless in a lot of ways. You know, I won't apologize for getting out of the boat and saying we're going to shoot after miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, I don't care how chaotic the service looks. If somebody walks out without their crutches, worth it to me. You know, it's time we let God be God and just get out of the way. And for some people, that'll look chaotic. Okay, I can be uncomfortable too. But it's not so much about how I feel, it's but what we allow God to do in and through us. It's time that the altars are filled up with people getting their needs met. Matthew 6:25, we read it, I think, 2 weeks ago, and this is my paraphrase version. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, drink, your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than these things? He takes care of all the birds and all those types of things. He takes care of the grass. You can't even believe the adornment of them. They're so wonderful. They don't have need because God provides for them, and you think you're worth less? You don't need to worry about these things. Just seek his kingdom and he'll take care of them. Why? Because it's his responsibility. Okay, that was the Bruce version. And I hope you get it. We waste our time chasing after all these things that are temporal that we really don't have need of. And the truth be told, we don't really want. Because if he's Lord, the only thing we want is to please him. There isn't much self-gratification when he's Lord. We become satisfied as we satisfy him. We see his will being done, and we get to be part of it. Therefore, as I do that, I don't want, because my only want is to see him glorified. I don't lack. Because what he started in me, he'll finish. It's not my burden to bear. I have one pursuit, his presence. Everything else doesn't matter. And as I do that, he will take care of it because it becomes his responsibility. There is no want, there is no lack when the shepherd is supplying. Luke tells the same story. Therefore, I tell you, Luke 12:22, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat. And obviously, last 2 weeks ago, we read a similar verse. I said, everyone's thinking about what they're going to eat now. You know, that was the big thing. Is the roast going to burn? You know, one of these days, God's going to move in a manner that we don't leave. And food won't be an issue. Consider the lilies of the field. They do not labor or spin. If God clothes the grass of the field, can't he take care of you? It's amazing what it says. But seek the kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You know, I've seen people not serve God because they say, well, you got to give so much. You can't give God. He is so thrilled. It's like every moment of every day is Christmas for him. He can't wait to grab into his bag and give you what he has for you for that moment. He's pleased to give you all that you need. Why? So you do not want and you do not lack. So your mindset is on him. And you live out of the abundant lifestyle that he's already provided for you. Why? Because someone needs your abundance to spill out on them. Amen. You have to know what you have. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may enjoy life in abundance. To the full till it overflows. Church, the world's waiting for us to overflow on them. It's just waiting for us to overflow on them. When we start overflowing, they will start coming, not even knowing why. They just need to get in this place. That's what you carry everywhere you go, if he's your shepherd. Acts 4:32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of the possessions was his own. Can't be Lord if you claim ownership. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. Let me say it again. There were no needy persons among them. I'll prophesy this into your life right now. If you individually and we together will become fully aware of his presence when we gather and release it all to him, there will be no needy person among us. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone as he had needs. Why? Because my God supplies all your needs. Philippians 4:19, according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. That covers a whole lot. I've noticed as I've gotten older, I'm hearing more and more stuff I really don't care to hear about. No, really. Some of it's just tragic, you know. Disease and death and all that. It's just, I don't like to hear about it. You know, I know with life comes all this stuff, but we got to live beyond life. And he says, do not be anxious about it. So if I don't need to be anxious about it, I really don't need to hear about it. Other than if he's telling me to get involved some way where he wants to do something really cool, and then I want to be involved with it because I like cool stuff. Otherwise, I really don't need to be burdened by it. Really, I don't. And neither do you. But if he wants you to get involved, jump out of the boat. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Heal the sick. Do the things you're called to do. Right? Why? Because your God supplies for everything that you need. Second point. Hope you got that one. You lack nothing if he's your shepherd. You know, I don't know how you guys lived. I know how I lived. My parents are sitting there. You know, I never wondered if I was going to have dinner. You might wonder what I'm going to have for dinner. You know, yes, there's times now I wonder if I'm going to have dinner. That's not a dig at my wife, you know. You know, half the time I get home, she's not there. And I'm the type that was spoiled, so if there's not dinner, I tend to not eat. You know, it's the same way how we should approach our Heavenly Father. I have an example. There's always a meal. You know, it's a matter of what's on the menu, what I really want, more of this. You know, start with dessert because I like the sweet stuff and, you know, don't want to fill up on the other stuff. You know, fill up on the stuff you really like. You don't lack. And he has abundance of resources. And he knows just what gives you pleasure. And he loves to give you pleasure. So I really hope you get that point. If you're aware of his presence, there is fullness of joy in his presence. And you will have no need. Point two, fear nothing. Fear doesn't exist in the kingdom of God because God is present. In Psalms it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't sound like a pleasant stroll. Hey, let's go for a walk. Let's find death. You know, that valley it dwells in seems like a good place. It's not where I'd pick. But because he's there, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Sometimes life can become so overwhelming when we pick it up and put it on our shoulders and we allow fear to creep in because we forget that he's with us. I've learned every morning to just say, okay, I don't know how things are going to go and I don't have a control over a lot of it, but you do, so let your peace go before me. And somehow it does, even in the midst of junk sometimes. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Your rod and your staff are the protection and the direction that the shepherd provides. Now, I told you I was going to tie all this into mothers, right? Mothers provide. The meals, they wash your clothes, they do all these things, they nurture you, they provide. You lack nothing with a good mom, truthfully. Now, behind the scenes, dad might be doing parts of it, but it's not Father's Day, so we're only going to tell you moms. Okay? You know, you never had fear when mom was around. Because she would protect. You ever see a mother hen gather her chickens under her wing? She protects and she directs. You know, moms can be really sweet until they're directing. And it's that way or it's no way. I brought you into this world, I'll bring you out of that's the way you're going. Mom, when mom lays down the law, everyone falls in line. Your protection and your direction comes from the shepherd. You don't have to fear when your protection and your direction comes from the shepherd. Now, believe it or not, I was this really skinny, loud-mouthed, opinionated child who wasn't afraid to speak into any situation I had no business speaking into because I had friends or relatives. Like, Dennis was always big and burly. I got really brave when I was around Dennis in a crowd because he would protect me. No, I'm being serious. I'm not kidding. I got really brave when my friends were around, you know. Brent Clare, anybody remember Brent? Brent pretty much could beat anybody up. Got really brave. You have to be aware of the presence of God. Yeah. In the presence of my enemies, we have a choice. And I find it so interesting, and I've said this before, why would he prepare a table there? How about like on the deck of a lake and it's nice, calm and serene, we can watch the sunset, it's just beautiful. But no, all these people that are throwing things at me, spears and words and all those things to hurt, that's where you decide to prepare a table. Now we can relate to that in every aspect of life. He's prepared a table. The question is, where's your focus? On the table set before you or on the circumstances of life? Your choice. Yes. When your focus is right, the only thing before you is the table. When your focus is wrong, you allow doubt and fear and everything else to creep in. The table represents provision for, anointest, makest me fat. He anointest my head with oil. And my cup overflows. That's what the shepherd does. You know, everyone knows I like cruising. Why? I can eat as much as I want, whenever I want, however I want, and I'm served, and all their only goal is to make me happy about it, even when, no, I don't want any more. They bring you more. And it's just, you have to be aware of his presence. You have to understand how pleased he is to give you the things that you want and need so you can fulfill the purpose and calling of your life. Matthew 10:28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. There's a lot in this passage. The Word of God is just rich with things. But I want to put something in perspective here. If he's Lord, your life is not your own. If he's shepherd, his function is to protect your life. You do not need to be concerned about any situation he brings you into. Your health, your well-being is up to him. Now, if you're aware of his presence, eternity becomes way more important than any situation. Too many of us live challenged by what's right before us in the temporary, and we don't see the eternal perspective. Fear runs away from the eternal perspective because fear has no place in eternity. If you are aware of his presence wherever he leads you, you will always function from an eternal perspective. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, of love, of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Obviously, that's amplified version. When he's your shepherd, your spirit is courageous. There's a verse in the Bible that said, boldly approach the throne of grace. Sometimes we're more bold approaching God than the circumstances he wants us to have input into. And we shouldn't be more bold wherever he sent us, and more humble in approaching him. Fear nothing, God is with you. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I still have a lot to go, and I'm going to do it. We're going to get to the Bruce version verses right now. You could elaborate on any one of these and really get into the depth of them. I just believe God wants to remind us who he is in our lives and what we can live in every moment, every day. And if you'll do that, you will change your surroundings. You'll change this church, you'll change this city, and you'll see it change the world. It's all up to you. Point three is simply just being aware of his presence. Exodus 33, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Now, this should be a very, very personal passage of scripture if this church is your home. Why? There's a reason we believe the Lord changed our name to The Encounter. There's a reason I had a dream where people are coming to encounter him. There's a reason we're talking about being aware of his presence. See, there is nothing else worth anything that can distinguish you other than the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. The only thing you want to be known for in heaven is not saving a million souls. It's not walking through graveyards and raising the dead. He can use any vessel to do those things. It's his stamp on you. It's his seal on you. The only thing that distinguishes you is the presence of his Holy Spirit in your life. Lord, let us be distinguished. Now some Bruce versions, just to move this along. There's a story in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Most of you know this. If you don't, look it up. Samuel was a little boy. He was getting woken up by hearing God speak to him, except he didn't know it was God. He was totally unaware of the presence of God in his life. And they were at a time that God wasn't saying a whole lot to anybody. So he kept getting up and saying, Eli, what do you want? And he's like, what are you talking about? Go back to bed. Eli wasn't the brightest bulb. No, it took him a couple times, right? Three times. And he's like, hey, yeah, that's God. Do this next time, right? So what am I saying? Sometimes you just need a reminder to be aware of his presence. Sometimes you need someone to walk alongside with you and say, you know what? No, that is God speaking to you.
That is?
Yeah, that's God speaking to you. You better pay attention. You need to become more aware of his presence in your life. It's a great passage. Luke 24, verse 13 through 24. Yeah, it's the road to Emmaus. Right? Jesus has been crucified, he's been put in the grave, he's been raised from the dead, and everybody's talking about all the stuff going on, and these people are walking, and all of a sudden Jesus walks up beside them and they're having a conversation, and they're like, you don't know about this stuff, and they're telling him this, and all, and at the end all of a sudden they realize it's him, and they, didn't our hearts burn? They weren't aware of his presence. He was right there with them. I'll be honest, most of the time, I know God wants me to do something because my heart burns. I'll be in church and I'm just so gripped and he won't let me go. It's just there and it's like a fire is getting more. And I was like, okay, I'm going to burn up unless I do something. You need to be aware of his presence. You need to be aware of his presence. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? 1 John 3:24, those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think you're getting the theme of all these things. See, the question to me isn't the fact of whether Christ lives in me, Holy Spirit's in me, the Spirit of God's in me. That's not in question. Why? Because I gave my heart to the Lord. I am a new creation. He occupies that. The question is, am I aware of it and am I allowing him to live in and through me throughout my day? That's the only question. A while back, I got married. The only question was I going to act like a husband or not? Some days, that's still a question. That's really... You know, there's a lot of people who get married and don't act married. What am I saying? Quit being a useless vessel. There, that was harsh. No, I'm serious. Every day you're challenged to be a useful vessel. What is a useful vessel? One that knows the contents of it. Knows it can't be exhausted, therefore it's available for every situation of the one who fills it. We're called to be useful vessels. John 14, 10 through 17. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Goes on to say, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. Coming down the home stretch. I can't convey enough to you how powerful the truth of this, I believe, is, and it will radically change the church if we'll dive into it. The Lord is my shepherd. Zephaniah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. People, it's time that we begin living our lives outside of these walls and inside of these walls with the reality that the Lord is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. All things are possible with God. It's time to jump out of the boat. It's time to walk on water. It's time to do a little jig in the house of the Lord. It's time to get excited. It's time to worship the Lord. It's time to see him do the things that he wants to do in and through you. It's not time to crumble. It's not time to be weak. It's time to be strong and courageous. And it begins in the house of the Lord. It begins with you looking in the mirror and seeing who's in you. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority in heaven and earth is with you always to the end of the age. See, we need to know him as shepherd. We need to know his salvation. We need to know his provision. We need to know his protection. We need to know his security. We need to be aware of his presence. God with us, God in us. We need to know him more in us than us in him. I'll say that. We need to know him more in us than us in him. See, it's easy to hide in him. It's not easy to hide him in us. When we focus on him, when we are aware that his presence goes before us, we will walk we will talk and we will function from the place of his presence. And we will be changed and the world will be changed. And they will come through these doors just because his presence is here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for your people. And I just ask that the revelation of you really grips our hearts and our minds. I ask that you, your presence would just shake us out of our slumber, God. And that the dreams you've given us and the promises you've given us just come to pass and would be fulfilled, and that we'd live in the glory of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven now. Just bring eternity into this temporal time now. In Jesus' name, amen.